Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
A decision from the Federal Court of Appeals regarding the Romanian churches in Illinois. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, Holly, we talked about how the oral argument went, and it was an amazing oral argument before a three-judge panel. It could not have gone better, frankly. In fact, after the oral argument, we rarely predict how different cases are going to come out because you really don't know. But after this oral argument, it seemed as though, number one, we won on the mootness issue, that the case is not moot. That was pretty clear. And number two, on the First Amendment issue, it seemed also that the court was very favorable to us on that and not so favorable against the governor. And yet then, a few days later, we got a 3-0 decision from this Court of Appeals that ultimately sided with the governor.
That was pretty shocking, to say the least.
Yeah, the decision actually said, well, it's not moot because the governor will not disclaim these prior orders and could return to them at any time. And then it goes on to talk about the First Amendment. Now, the amazing thing is there's two different aspects to this First Amendment argument that we did, and they actually addressed both of them in their opinion. They did not address all the other arguments. In fact, they actually said at the very end of their opinion that we raised a number of other arguments, but they're not going to address them, which is kind of odd.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, even before we talk about this, we're asking the full panel of all the judges to review the case, and then absent that, we will then file what's called a petition for cert or certiorari to the United States Supreme Court, and that will happen sometime later this summer. But that's the process. This case, by the way, is far from over. We're only at the preliminary injunction stage of the case, so there's a lot more to go beyond where we are right now.
And of course, the governor, he did, you know, release all of the restrictions because of being taken to the Supreme Court. So he did release those, but we do need a judicial ruling so that he can't reverse that, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah, because within hours of having to file his response to the United States Supreme Court, he literally didn't just modify the restrictions on churches and houses of worship. He literally removed them in total.
Right. So to clarify that, we are free to meet, but he could change his mind just as quick as he did the other way.
And we want to make sure this doesn't ever happen again. And then, of course, you know, any moment we could wake up one day and he reimposes them.
Right.
And that's the problem here, without a judicial ruling blocking him from going back to these old ways. But on the First Amendment issue, there's two different situations that the court looked at, and that was part of the oral argument. Number one, they looked at, are churches treated unequally to other similar gatherings? That's number one. And let's talk about that. First of all, they are treated unequal, because only churches have a 10-person limit. Churches, by the way, were classified at the very beginning as essential activities.
Right.
But they're the only, quote, essential activity that has a 10-person limit. No other essential activity or entity operation has a person limit, a number limit on how many people can be there.
Like your big box centers, your super centers, your warehouses, other meat packing plants, et cetera, they didn't have limits.
No, no limits, just churches.
Right.
So they're automatically treated different in that respect. So, you know, what's the point? Essential services, they're really not. They're classified under that, but I guess that just means that you can drive to the church and you can have 10 people there.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't matter whether you have a 100-seat or a 10,000-seat sanctuary, just 10 people. So the court ultimately looked at, well, are they like these other places like meatpacking places, big box centers? And they made this decision that's frankly wrong, that they're not like them. They're not like them. Because these other places like meatpacking places, well, they're very essential because you have to eat. And the other places such as the super centers or the big box centers, people aren't there very long, but they're in church for a prolonged period of time.
You've got employees there all day long.
And that's what we said. that, in fact, well, wait a
touching
minute.
All kinds of things.
You have employees that are there for at least 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
And what are they doing? They're touching all kinds of things. And they're actually coming in contact with hundreds and hundreds of people every single day.
Much more than at church.
Not one day a week.
Not just every day.
Every day. So they're doing that 5-6 days a week. So they're in constant exposure to people for long periods of time. So what's the difference? Is it so essential to go buy a garden hose or a picture frame, a potted plant? Is that really so essential that you're going to give them special treatment? And by the way, you know what? Those places don't have a First Amendment free exercise right like churches do, houses of worship do. And they don't have a First Amendment Establishment Clause mm-hmm. provision that says government has to back off and cannot impose government mandates on how churches should operate. But, you know, that's what they said. Well, they're not like that. They're different. And even if they are sort of like that, well, these other things are essential. Well, the other thing that we looked at was something that's really true among all of these particular states, and that is churches are treated differently with regards to feeding and shelter or providing other, in this state, necessities of life. So what is all that? That would be things such as giving food, like a food bank, housing people overnight, like a shelter, or temporarily, but many times overnight. And then the third thing would be the necessities of life, and that includes anything, counseling people how to apply for unemployment, or counseling people how to apply for a government loan, or anything else. So here what we have is that nonprofits, which would include churches, in fact, these two Romanian churches could have an unlimited number of people in the sanctuary.
So say 500 people in there providing shelter and giving them food.
Yeah, they could give them food. They could sit at tables. There's no social distancing requirement, no number limitation. They could then house them, 500 people. However many people that you want, unlimited number. You could have 1,000, depends how big your church is, or 100, however big your church is. Doesn't matter. Whatever you can accommodate. So they could be there for 10 hours, having a meal in the morning, bunking overnight, having a breakfast in the morning, and they go back and they come again 7 days, consistently, day after day after day. The church staff could be a part of that. No limitation. But as soon as the pastor decided, we're going to pause for a few moments and have a 15-minute devotional.
So once the pastor initiates any kind of religious, spiritual context, it suddenly becomes a hazardous situation?
Yeah. So if they really want to protect people from the spread of the coronavirus, which is what they say, and we'll assume that that's really their intent, the way they've accomplished it is unconstitutional because it's very discriminatory.
Oh my.
Because in the
blatantly.
Same, yeah, I mean, in the same church, what we have is you can have a non-religious meeting, but as soon as it becomes a religious meeting, you have to reduce the number of people to 10.
That's blatant discrimination.
And we brought that up during the oral argument, and we focused on it, and they actually said, well, you know, they just literally bypassed that. And they, you know, you could actually have a meal with 500 people. If you think about the Lord's Supper, communion, what was it? It's not what we have today where you have a little wafer and a little cup.
Right, you're actually passing a loaf of bread and passing a cup.
It's a meal.
The same.
If you go look at 1 Corinthians 11, it's a meal. Because Paul even criticizes them that when they come to the Lord's Supper, what are they doing? Well, they're overeating and they're overdrinking.
Right.
So he said, you know, You rush into line first. He says, I'm not going to commend you on this. You're rushing ahead of people. There's other people that need to eat. And you're starving yourself all day and you're coming to the communion. That's not the way in which to do it. These were meals. When you talk about the Passover meal and where we have communion beginning, Jesus was sitting down for a Passover meal and he took the bread and the drink. And he then said, this is my body and this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant. So now you could have this feeding, but as soon as you said anything religious and you had prayer and a little message over that, all of a sudden it becomes communion and you'd have to reduce the number of people to 10. Well, we're going to continue this case. It's absolutely unconstitutional to have these kind of restrictions on churches. For more information, visit us at lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. The website again, lc.org.